Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 29th of October, recording at 20:20 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and my goodness, there's plenty of rock and roll going on. And that's been the case for the last week or more. I've been mentioning that things are speeding up, so there's a lot going on. More volatility. Perhaps that's the new normal, to quote Bill Gross in another context. Okay, Asian stock markets were weak, down 2% or more for the most part. European stock markets got off to a soft start, but then rallied, as Wall Street rallied. And Wall Street was very strong, closing with gains of over 2% on the Dow and the S&P, up 2.25% on the S&P, and the NASDAQ composite just a little less. And that's right near the highs of the day. And what else to mention? Long-dated government bonds were weaker across the boards today. The U.S. dollar weakened again. It's been it's seen a reasonable bounce in the last week or so, but softer today. The euro is back up to 148.34, and dollar looks softer across the boards. I'm just searching for the yen if I can see it. And the dollar's up again. No, the dollar is up against the yen. So yen's the weakest currency in here today, followed by the greenback. Okay. What else to mention? Metals. We've seen a good bounce here, often from support levels. More on that in a minute. And crude oil also has seen a good bounce here today, from 77, which was an intraday low, up to almost 80, 79, 97, as I speak. Soft commodities stronger as well. Okay, well, what's going on generally? Well, the first thing is you will notice what is a pretty close correlation in terms of stock markets and also commodity prices, and also the direction of the dollar and the yen. It's something that's vexed me a little bit over the last few weeks, because I don't always like to see that high a correlation for personal reasons. For instance, I'd like to see precious metals uncouple from stock market activity a bit more. But that's not happening here right now. And there's probably a single main overriding reason for that, and it has to do with all the abundant liquidity that's sloshing around in the system. Now, people don't have to put that money in the stock markets and in the commodity markets, but I think the price action enabled us to determine very early on this year that the two areas that were going to certainly attract some hot money were going to be, and some investment capital, of course, were going to be stock markets and commodities. And therefore, I think that when investors are emboldened, when the animal spirits pick up a bit, they tend to buy both simultaneously. And this has become almost a knee-jerk response. And conversely, when they become a little bit twitchy, a little bit nervous, they tend to sell both the stock markets and the commodity markets simultaneously. And as the US dollar and the yen have been the preferred carry trades, they will move conversely to the stock markets and commodity markets. So when the stock markets are stronger, we'll see a weaker US dollar, and we'll see a weaker yen. And those two currencies will strengthen a little bit when stock markets and commodities weaken. Now, this isn't going to go on in perpetuity. I don't know how long it will last, but it's very much the situation that we have had for a number of months and that we still have today. Well, now what about these stock markets? Because yesterday, well, we've been saying for a while now that stock markets were due for at least another reaction, and some would see a correction. And yesterday, mentioning that a number of these reactions were morphing into corrections, and then we get a very good bounce in here today. Well, the first point I would make is I think that today's bounce underlines what is the more important long-term theme that I don't want to be lost as we focus on a lot of short-term volatility, or as we discuss a lot of short-term volatility. And that main underlying theme is that this is a bull market in both stock markets, all stock markets, and also in commodity markets. And as I said before, these are the two areas where we could see both investment and speculative funds flowing from a very early stage. And there are two areas that Fuller Money nominated a long time ago as likely future bubbles. And I certainly don't think they're at bubble stages at this point, although they are no longer the great bargains that they were back earlier in the year. So, this overall bull market, and behind which, or which is being fueled, I should say, by this incredible liquidity infusion, the most stimulative monetary policy in the history of the world, coming not just from the U.S., of course, but coming from pretty well every country. So that's the main background, and that, of course, had occurred in response to a huge stock market crash. And when has there ever been a stock market crash that was not followed by a good recovery? I mean, bull markets emerge from stock market crashes. This is old ground for veteran subscribers. You know it well. But bull markets emerge following market crashes like they rise like the phoenix. So that's the actual background that we have. And in a bull market environment, you're very unlikely to get 10 days or more consecutively on the downside. It's fairly unusual to see 5 or 6 days consecutively on the downside, which is what we've seen recently for some markets. In a bull market, you are much more likely to get 10 to a dozen days consecutively on the upside for some markets. And that makes sense. The opposite, of course, happens in a bear market decline. And you will recall some days back in that horrific sell-off that we saw last year, which certainly extended well into October and into November, and that we did have some months where we had consecutive days, double-figure consecutive days on the downside. Okay, so overall bull market driven by liquidity, but we have seen very powerful rallies which have caused price action to diverge from the 200-day moving averages, which are, of course, a trend-smoothing device. So the more stock markets rally above those 200-day moving averages, the more susceptible they become to mean reversions in the form of downward reactions towards the rising moving averages and or sideways ranging, and you tend to get a bit of both. So you see a bit of a setback and then sideways ranging activity. Now, what quantifies as a correction? Well, a lot of people would say over 10%. Well, Brazil, interestingly, has fallen this month by over 10%, must be closer to 11%, but it's risen nearly 6% here today. So an incredibly big upward dynamic, even bigger than the downward dynamics that it's seen recently. And we have seen a number of reactions in stock markets morph into corrections. One big upward dynamic, such as we're seeing today, does not in the Americas at any rate, that does not mean that the reactions and corrections are over. What it does mean, though, is that a temporary floor has been put under them. But I think we should expect a bit more ranging and a bit more volatility, and we may see some additional setbacks. I mentioned a few other indices. They're not all, first, they're not all going to do the same thing. But what struck me, looking at some charts earlier today, that the HUI, that's the Gold Bugs Index, the Philadelphia Gold Bugs Index, well, that saw until today a correction of over 16% this month, just about 16, little more than 16%, I believe. And that compares with a setback in the price of gold bullion of only 4.2%. And gold shares are notoriously volatile. So, as I say, that may be the new normal that we have to allow for greater volatility in these stock markets and possibly some of the commodity markets. Now, how do we deal with that? Well, at this stage of the cycle, I would be less willing to do the momentum trade unless we were talking about a depressed market or one that had been left behind, a possible sleeper that suddenly breaks out of a very large trading range, breaks out on the upside of a very large trading range. That may well get a good momentum move. But for the most part, I would not be chasing the uptrends. If one's interested in adding money, whether it's to commodity trades or investments or the same for equities, I would be looking for the reactions as the time to put further capital to work if that's what you're inclined to do. And one can justify that because this is still a bull market environment overall, as I've said several times so far in this broadcast and pretty much daily in my all my earlier audios. Okay, so in terms of the very short-term action, markets will be in Asia, I think, will be impressed by what's happened here today on Wall Street and in South America, and so I would expect a bit of a bounce back from Asia as well. Among Asian markets, interestingly, because we've been pointing out that bank shares had often led this downward move that we have seen to date this month, and that's a bit of a concern where it has occurred. One banking sector index, I'll just mention this quite briefly, but I'll probably post charts on it tomorrow, is the Japanese banks have been massive underperformers, and they appear, though, to be so out of line with other banking indices that those who like to buy markets that have been unfashionable and have left well behind might take a look at the charts for the sector. And there's some chunky yields in those Japanese banks, but they may well be near the bottom of their overall range. Okay, moving on. Long-dated government bonds are still range-bound. They have rallied a bit. Bond prices have rallied a bit as stock markets have come off in the last week. But they're softer in here today, as I mentioned. The precious metals, let's get on to those because that's particularly interesting, I know, for many of you, and rightly so, I think, against the overall background of this excessive printing of fiat currency. Well, we saw pullbacks to areas of potential support, I think, particularly for gold, I beg your pardon, particularly for silver, in getting down to nearly $16 yesterday and today. And there's some lateral support there, as you'll be able to see on the charts. And ditto platinum on pulling back to the $1,300 level before today's quite good bounce. Now, I have struggled to maximize the opportunities in the precious metals here recently. That means that I've let too much of the profits when they've appeared slip away due to a bit of over-optimism regarding the volatility in the short-term trend direction. But I would much rather have a reduced profit than a loss, let alone an increased loss. And fortunately, it's working out that way. And I did add some long positions in here today. I bought a little bit more gold, platinum, and silver to replenish the positions, some of the positions that had been stopped out earlier. I didn't completely replenish them because I still have a few positions that are underwater at the moment that I optimistically bought a short while ago, hoping that we would break out on the upside of those little narrow ranges. But today's upward dynamics were good enough so that I came in late in the day and picked up some positions there. But overall, the background, I think, remains quite favorable for precious metals. Interest rates are still low, more and more people are recognizing that these are stores of wealth that also have a supply inelasticity component. Gold has been regarded as a store of wealth or hard money for longer than anything else that anyone can mention, and the overall upward trends remain intact. So I think we can look for more gains, quite possibly in the short term, but definitely over the medium to longer term. Also, crude oil. I take the view I would be quite happy to see crude oil remain quiet. Well, it's not quiet at the moment. It was quiet for a while when it was ranging in that $60 to $70 area, and then it broke out and ran up over 80, as you know. Any move upwards in oil from here is a headwind in proportion to the strength of the move in crude oil on the upside. It's not a serious problem for the global economy at this stage, but it is likely to become a problem at some point. Again, I'd like to see a quiet oil price, but of course the oil market doesn't care what I would like to see, and it's going to do what it's going to do. And it looks to me as if it will consolidate in the upper 70 to lower $80 region, and then take another step upwards. That will be good for the oil sector overall. Now, the agro, this is beginning to be a bit of a long audio, and so I will wrap it up here. But the agricultural sector also bounced. The grain and bean complex, soybeans which I had bought last week, and that proved to be higher side of the recent range. But they've had a good day in here today, up 17 ticks. And I think that's pretty much it right for now. So exciting times, aren't they? And I'll just say all the very best to all of you. Oh, tomorrow I will be recording a little bit earlier because I have another function on tomorrow evening, and Owen is giving his lectures. I'll probably be recording around 5:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.